This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's time to welcome our special guest. She was a contestant on season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race, and this fall she'll co-host the reality competition series Call Me Mother on OutTV. Her latest album, A Girl Like Me, Letters to My Lovers, is available now. Peppermint, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Hello. Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Just to ask right off the top, why did you pick the name Peppermint?
You know, it was a dumb mistake.
No.
But I guess it's too late to change it now that I'm like a full-fledged adult. It just so happens that peppermints are my favorite candy flavor, my favorite ice cream flavor, my favorite tea flavor.
Okay.
But I happen to have been sitting in the parking lot of a 7-Eleven as a teenager does in Wilmington, Delaware. And I was in the parking lot in a car with a guy that I had a huge crush on.
Uh-huh.
And I was ready for him to, I would have done anything he suggested. Let's just say that. And he was like, and I had a mouthful of peppermints, and he was like, you should just name yourself Peppermint. And I was like, okay. But it is a terrible name for, like, Google. Like, this was all pre-Google, right?
Oh, right.
So, that's a great point.
You know, this, now you Google my name and, like, you know,
you gotta wade through some other stuff.
Comes up. Yeah, it's like, oh, my gosh. And so, you know, there's that. But then also, it's not very, you know, subtle when you're in, like, a doctor's office or at a wait, you know, like when someone has to call out your name. And you notice when you have an awkward name like that, you notice how much people need to scream your name out to strangers. Peppermint! You know.
How do you feel about non-peppermint flavor candy canes?
I feel like they're a joke. They're farcical. They're a joke. Mm-hmm. I feel like they are an insult to my very existence.
Yep.
I think we should get used to peppermint being a dominant flavor in our profile and not treating it like it's just some Christmas thing.
I agree. I absolutely agree. So in 2017, you were a contestant on season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race. And so every episode of Drag Race ends with a lip sync for your life, where two queens lip sync a song at the same time, and then whoever performs best gets to stay in the competition. You were considered a lip sync assassin.
Yes, I was. I've got the bodies in my wake.
How do you prepare? What makes up an entertaining lip sync from your point of view?
Well, you know, I mean, specifically for something like Drag Race,
yeah.
I think right now I'm coming off as very cool and calm and collected and living in that confidence because I did not have it when we were actually doing the show. Every single time, even when I was feeling like I was performing well in the competition and maybe I thought, okay, there's a chance I could win. I learned every breath, every nuance, every beat, every song, every lyric to the lip syncs that we were given to prepare on Drag Race. And I was like in my room, like, okay, they could send a twist and the winner might have to lip sync or whatever. Like they could throw a dart and it hits you and then you have to lip sync. So that's how I knew I was going to be okay. And so I can relax now, but only because I was, you know, going through it then.
So the other finalists from your season have gone on to compete in All-Stars. Would you consider competing in an All-Star season?
Of course I would. The timing would just have to be right.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Because you have a new drag competition show coming out this fall on OutTV called Call Me Mother. So could you tell us a little bit about how that show works?
Yeah, it's a drag competition reality show. And in the grand scheme of drag reality competition shows, it has drag and performances.
Yeah.
But we wanted the show to focus on the entertainers over sort of just putting them in, you know, zany situations and seeing if they can, you know, sink or swim. we really wanted to tailor a lot of this competition to the actual people on the show. And so we also wanted it to be very diverse and inclusive, which the world of drag really is. But I think the message that drag is popular has been sent. Everybody gets that
totally.
Now. But I think drag is inclusive isn't necessarily a message that everyone has resonated with people. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to send that message. We have trans performers, non-binary performers, regardless of their identity or sexuality. We have drag entertainers. And regardless of their presentation in drag. So it's not just drag queens, like female doing performing female drag.
Yeah.
It's male, it's drag kings doing male drag. It's non-binary performers doing non-binary drag. It's just drag. And I can't wait for the world to see them.
So you grew up in Delaware, and you grew up doing theater, and then you came to New York and graduated from the American Musical and Dramatic Academy in 1999. I imagine the idea was then to just start auditioning for Broadway musicals. But you've said that you knew Broadway wasn't the kind of performance that was for you.
Yeah. I mean, I was, if I didn't know it, I was informed by my professors.
The test.
Like, what are you doing here? And to be fair, I was definitely more... I was advertising that I was more into nightlife and, nightclub life than I was. When I say advertising, I mean quite literally, I was advertising. I got paid for every student that I could recruit to go from the college to the club.
Oh, wow.
And I earned money on their heads.
Fantastic.
And so I was quite focused on that. And none of the roles that we were doing in school, they just weren't for me. Even the teacher was like, this is the closest I have. I'm sorry. You know, like they'd hand it to me and I'm like, Jack and the Beanstalk. You know, it's like, what? You know, like, just, you know, I love Into the Woods, but come on.
Sure.
I was like, not the witch? Hello? Goodbye. Call me in 20 years.
Well, then in 20 years, you...
Exactly.
Yes, in 2018, you were on Broadway in the musical Head Over Heels, which was inspired by the Go-Go's, and you made history as the first out trans woman to originate a role on Broadway. I mean, did that in some way feel like all of your hard work paid off and you
felt
were able to arrive on Broadway like on your own terms?
Yeah, absolutely. I knocked on Broadway's door and it said, no one's home. And I was at the club learning really who I was. I was through drag, through the art of drag. Drag taught me how to get in touch more with my gender identity and gender expression and who I am and just learn all the freedoms, as it does, I think, for anyone who does drag, really. Mm-hmm. And I was able to really live and experience my transness and my womanhood and my womanness in a way that I wouldn't have been able to do had I not done those things. And then I didn't have to call on Broadway. Broadway called on me. But it did feel very full circle.
Absolutely. And you have a new album.
Oh, my gosh.
Out called A Girl Like Me, Letters to My Lovers. And
it's true.
You've described the album as being very personal to you. Obviously, the title kind of points to a very personal story, but can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Yeah, I was in a relationship, the best relationship I'd ever been in. It had ups and downs, and, you know, spoiler alert, it ended. But not before I had the chance to write down so many of the experiences, the great experiences and some of the sad ones. Before I knew it, I said, maybe this is a song, and then... Lo and behold, it was like 15 songs. And so obviously I had a lot to say. And so we decided to put it all to music and kind of organize it in three bodies of work, a beginning, a middle, and end. And the beginning, A Girl Like Me, Letters to My Lovers, is out now. The next one, Moment of Weakness, Letters to My Lovers, comes out at the end of the summer in August.
So this is part of a trilogy.
It's part of a trilogy.
Fantastic. Oh, my goodness. All right. Peppermint, are you ready to play some games?
Oh, my gosh. I love playing games. Yes. Not mind games.
No, okay. No.
So this first game is you know, the website WikiHow.
Mm-hmm.
So the website WikiHow contains user-submitted step-by-step instructions on how to do various things, like even things you would not expect that you would need instructions for. So Jonathan and I are going to read you a small set of WikiHow instructions, and you just tell us what they are describing.
Okay.
Okay, so here we go.
Oh, gosh.
I'll do the first one. Here we go. Choose the right tray. Fill the tray with water. Place the tray on a flat surface in the freezer.
I mean, I feel like we're making ice, but I don't understand why we're choosing the right tray.
You clearly have never made
tray?
Ice
I
in
didn't
the
know
wrong
there was,
tray.
I didn't,
yeah. Oh, it's a nightmare. If you get the wrong tray, it's a complete disaster.
You know, I never even thought about, like, just taking a, you know, a breakfast in bed tray and just filling it with water.
Yeah, right.
Shoving that. That would be fun.
All right, here's another one. Decide whether you're going to shave and what you're going to shave. Invest in some wild makeup and start using it. Prepare your persona, her act, and choose a name.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I was going to say getting ready for an interview at the library, but instead I'll go with getting in drag.
Yeah, that's right. How to be a drag queen.
Do you feel like those are the step-by-steps? Is that the sequence?
It's probably
decide
a couple
decide
more.
What you're going to shave,
more
get some makeup,
less.
Change, decide on a name. All right, here's your next one. Come up with an idea based around a villain. Find a creepy, accessible location to film in. Know that the evils we don't see are scarier than the ones we can.
How to be a babysitter?
That is a good premise for what I'm talking about.
I have no idea.
Okay, what if so I think this is the key. Find a creepy location to film in.
Making your own scary movie.
Yes, exactly. It's to how to film a horror movie, basically.
This is so simplistic. I love it.
It's hilarious, right? You're a fan of horror movies.
I'm an absolute fan of horror movies.
Okay, what genre do you like the most?
Zombie.
What's the best zombie? What's your favorite zombie?
Yeah.
A zombie film that I love so much is Return of the Living Dead. Okay, you don't want to know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
I want to know.
I do very much want to know it.
George Romero and, I can't remember his partner, Russo, I think, the two people who were responsible for Night of the Living Dead had a difference of opinion, and there was a lawsuit involved. One could only use dead in the future movies, and one could only use living dead in other movies.
That is fascinating.
That's really interesting.
What what minutia these kinds of breakups have, right?
It's all in the details.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, here's your next one. Read a lot of mystery books. Learn to spot clues quickly and efficiently. Consider using these skills in a future career.
I mean, really? It's how to figure out if your boyfriend is cheating on you. Like, that's really the real tea.
Pretty much.
You know?
Pretty much.
How to be a detective?
Exactly. How to be, this is specific, not that you would guess this exact word, but this is from How to Be a Good Young Detective. Ageist. Oh. It's ageist on top of
how
that.
How dare they?
Yeah, because let me tell you, you can't spot clues when you don't know what you're looking for.
Yeah, you gotta have a little wisdom in order to detect.
You know, I don't need a detective saying, I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm looking for.
I don't want to hear that.
All right, here's the last one.
Okay.
Opt for drab, slouchy clothes.
Incorporate
acid wash denim.
Oh!
Don't forget to add an oversized flannel shirt.
Hey!
Finish it off with combat boots.
Oh my gosh, not only is it 90s, it's grunge wear in the 90s, and I'm so into it. It's basically Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, that is yes. correct. Recreating a 90s grunge look.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
You did fantastic, obviously, in that game.
Thank you.
And we have one more for you. Are you ready for one more?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
It's a quick one. Jonathan and I will name a color, and all you have to do is tell us which color it is closest to, red, green, or blue.
Got it.
Okay, here we go, peppermint.
Mm-hmm.
Chartreuse.
Green.
That's correct. Right.
Vermilion.
Green. Blue.
Sorry, gosh. It's red.
Oh, shut up.
Okay. Okay, this color shares its name with an Australian beach. It was the color of the original Apple iMac computer, Bondi.
So maybe blue?
Yes, indeed.
Verdigris. It's the color copper turns when it oxidizes. It also appears in the musical Wicked in the song The Wizard and I to rhyme
yes.
with absurd degree.
As you do.
Well, then, if it's the color that copper turns, then I have to look at Lady Liberty. It's green.
That is correct.
All right. Pantone's 2015 color of the year, Marsala.
It's got to be red.
Yes, it is. Exactly.
Yeah.
This pigment was created by accident in a lab. Yinmin.
It sounds like it would be red.
It is actually blue. Who knew?
Mm.
But there you go. From the French for the insect flea, puce.
Green.
Sound. I would go with green, but it's red. I would have never.
I always
guessed that.
I always think puce is green, and I always have to look it up because I know that's wrong, and it's red.
Maybe I'm like thinking puke.
That's
green.
What it is.
Definitely green.
All right, here's the last one. Cornflower.
Oh, that's blue.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely, one of my favorite colors in the Crayola set when I finally
yeah.
got the
that's
big
nice
one. That was great. Thank you so much, Peppermint.
Absolutely.
Thank you also.
I gotta go brush up on my colors.
I know. We all learned a little thing there. Peppermint's latest album, A Girl Like Me, Letters to My Lovers, is available now. Peppermint, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our games were written by our staff, along with Nick Garrison, Julia Melfi, Kara Weinberger, and senior writers Camilla Franklin, Andrew Kane, and Karen Lurie. Ask Me Another is produced by Nancy Seychow, James Farber, and Ramel Wood, with Gianna Capodona and our intern, Zach St. Clair. Our senior producer is Travis Larchuk. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal. And our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grudman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR.